You're listening
to the Libertarian
Atheist Podcast.
Lukewarm lentils are a thing of the past under President Trump. We will secure our lentils. They will be crispy.
Woo! Woo! Crispy lentils! Woo! Fuck Iran!
Yeah.
We will bomb Iran, and we will take the lentils.
We will take the lentils. It's good. Okay. I like lentils. I don't hate Muslims, right? I like curry. Who doesn't like curry? Everyone likes curry. It's the people that come with them. Terrorists. They come in the curry caravans, okay? They come in there and they just get here. What's in curry anyway? What is curry? Is it a powder? Is it a mixture of powders? Does anyone know? Anyone? Hey, everyone. Guess what? I was wrong. I said in our last episode that Hillary Clinton was inevitably going to become the president of the United States, and I was wrong. I was wrong, just like when I thought the Golden State Warriors would beat the Cavaliers. I was wrong, just like when I thought the Cubs were going to lose to Cleveland. Apparently, I should not be betting anytime soon. How are you doing, Andrew?
Good, good. Well, you know, you can't win if you don't bet.
I guess that sounds like a gambling addict if I've ever heard one. So Andrew, everyone knows that this episode's right, guys? Donald Trump is president of the United States. And when that happened, it was a bit of a shocker for me, to be quite honest. I was sitting at my phone. I was looking at my phone, and, you know, I don't really have cable at home because, I can say it's for some pretentious reason, but for more, it's just money. Honestly, it's just stupid to spend that amount of money per month. And I was looking at my phone, and I was noticing, wow, Trump is leading. This is strange. Oh, that just has to be some of the states. And then it kept going up, and then it kept going up. And when it was at about 140 for Trump, electoral votes, I had to call Andrew, and the first thing that Andrew told me was, Trump is going to fucking win. Right, Andrew?
Yeah, and I was never like, I haven't been saying this for months or anything. I was kind of leaning towards your opinion, maybe a little less intensely than you. But yeah, I was not predicting a Trump win until that evening around when you called me, when I checked the betting odds. John Stossel has a great website, Election Betting Odds, where he compiles all the betting markets around the world. And most statisticians will tell you the betting odds are a better predictor than any statistician. So,
yeah, and now we sit here as the reality TV star is our next president of the United States. And the fallout so far has been interesting. I'm actually in the mortgage industry as my normal job. And there's already been a fallout there. Interest rates are going up and yada, yada, yada. That doesn't matter, though, in comparison to like the larger view, right? Which is people kind of trying to deal, right? Because obviously we have protests going on. From Hillary supporters. I'm actually in San Diego, and I live downtown. Right outside my window, I heard police sirens and people yelling, screaming. But nothing, you know, like Baltimore riot level whatsoever. Mostly peaceful, just people who are essentially kind of arguing points that we've been making for a long time, which is that democracy is ridiculous, right? That the whole idea that one vote equals one more ability to be able to use force against another individual, that's kind of an unethical idea in general. They're also arguing for things like secession, which is, again, kind of a libertarian thing, at least from the Tom Woods point of view. They're talking about kind of active revolt against the government and possibly with weapons. Again, something libertarians have been agreeing on. And just for kind of overthrowing the entire thing. But it all kind of feels whiny. And I think the reason in part why it sounds whiny is because they never really stand on those principles whenever it's their guy in office, which is the ultimate litmus test, right? If you are willing to act in a principled manner in cases in which it wouldn't even be towards your benefit, I mean, that's kind of the whole point of being principled, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's no logic to it, but you know, that's the case with both parties. You can't give one party a pass. You know, the Republicans were using the filibuster when they were out of power. I'm sure the Democrats will try to use it now, and the Republicans will try to outlaw it. So it's just hypocrisy on both sides. You know, the left is anti-war again now. They spent about 8 years not really caring, and now they're going to have huge demonstrations in the streets whenever Trump starts a war. So, but then again, the right wing will probably be okay with Trump doing like gun background checks, which he'll probably do.
Well, yeah, and but in a broader thing, besides just, I mean, it's so easy to argue the hypocrisy point, right?
Yeah, it's easy.
Because you can kind of do that anytime. It's not even necessarily about the hypocrisy. It's just whether or not they're wrong. And in the case of these people kind of doing these demonstrations, I understand. I understand the frustration, the political frustration, especially whenever you, from the get-go, decided that you were all in, right? Especially the Bernie Sanders supporters who just kept on getting more and more sad as it went on, to the point where they were yelling at Gary Johnson's. Okay, so before we get too much into this, I have a fun story. So while me and you, Andrew, were on the phone, I was like, you know what, I gotta get out of my house. I need to go watch this live. Where do you go watch this live? Of course, down the street to a gay bar. So I went in there, and well, because it's, for me, it would have just been more interesting, the gay bar, because the straight bar right by it was like a Navy thing. So like it's going to be a bunch of Trump supporters, things like that. I wanted to see like the chaos, the triggering, if you will.
You wanted to drink the liberal tears.
Yeah, a little bit, right? People were crying, like crying in front of me and like hugging and yelling. And something they yelled at more than fuck Trump was fuck Johnson. Which I gotta say, good job, Gary Johnson. This is the best thing you did. You are now relevant. You made libertarians relevant. He beat the spread. And I gotta tell you, people's anger towards him on all of this front. You know, I've been upset with him. I'm just kind of like, oh, you're a wet noodle, aren't you? he's just not very intelligent, right? People's like outward anger towards him without thinking. Especially Hillary supporters, because I don't know where they got it, but in their mind, they think for some reason that if you voted for Johnson, that means you were going to vote for Hillary originally, then you went with Johnson. And that screams to me that they've never checked shit out, that they think the Libertarian Party and the Green Party are the exact same thing. But I heard Rachel Maddow fucking go off on a whole rant about how terrible third party people are. And I'm like, shouldn't he be yelling at the, I don't know, 47 or 48% of voters who decided not to vote for Hillary? I mean, you'd think they'd be mad at them, but just seeing all these people just crying and just yelling at each other, and there was one guy who said he was a Johnson supporter, and they just started yelling at him, just fully going out on him. The problem was he also looked like he was a Republican. He was wearing like a sports coat, he was white, he had like gelled hair. He just looked like, you know, no matter who wins, I'm going to win. But yeah, just kind of watching that. So from their perspective, I kind of understood. Actually, I don't, because Hillary's never liked homosexuals, like ever.
2013 was when she finally came on board the gay marriage train after like almost every Republican. Like, it was weird.
And it was by accident. It was John. It wasn't John McCain, was it? Not John McCain. Joe Biden. Joe Biden on air basically stating like, yeah, we're okay with gays now. And everybody's like, oh, shit. And then Trump, and then Obama's like, yeah, I guess we like the gays now. Yeah. And then Hillary's like, I guess so. I guess I'll allow the fags in. You know, after basically just saying the worst possible things about homosexuals for decades. And Trump, honestly, you know, you can't build real estate in New York and be anti-gay. He did decide to get Michael Pence, but still, like, I just didn't even understand where they were arguing from. They were like, oh, well, everything's over now. And I was like, well, I mean, if you're Mexican, yeah, but I don't understand how they could even see this. But I mean, outside of that little thing, what I did was I had to listen to Stephen Molyneux, right? I had to listen to the... I had to listen to Alex Jones. I had to listen to Paul Joseph Watts. I had to listen to Milo because...
Oh, did you hear Jones's interview with Ron Paul? It was pretty funny.
No.
Yeah, so Jones was like trying to get Ron Paul to be all excited and like Liberty's won, and Ron Paul's like, no, they're both horrible war criminals. Like, really? I bet Jones has like deleted it from his website by now. It was like the most awkward interview ever. Ron Paul just would not cave in, and Jones was so like, but you gotta admit, you know, he's the best thing that's ever happened in this country.
Wow. Okay, we'll post that into the show.
He admires you. I know he said some mean things about Rand, but Rand said some things back to him. I would love to see both men friends. I know they played golf, but all that aside, is there any way that you could be given, say, a list of his policies that are on his site and say, I don't fully endorse Trump, like Senator Sessions and others do, but, and Sessions said he's not perfect, but the system hates him. He's a populist. He wants better deals for us. He's an anti-globalist. The CFR hates him. I mean, it would just be so wonderful to see a purist, you know, Dr. No, a guy with a perfect constitutional record like yourself. I understand you don't want to now endorse him because you've got a perfect record, something nobody else has. But is there any way to at least highlight the things you think are good? Because I would love to see, the whole Ron Paul libertarian revolution somehow, at least talking to the Trump populist movement.
Well, I think he's too much all over the place. What he says one day is something, the next day sometimes he flip-flops in one day in what he has said over the years. So I have no idea what he believes in. I don't believe he has a basic principle, a basic libertarian principle. Sure, the one thing that he does real well is challenges this political correctness. So no matter what your beliefs are, people get sick and tired of political correctness, and that's very good. But his economic policies are all over the place. When you talk about a 35% tax on imports, you're looking for a trade war. Trade wars lead to bad wars. So no, I think personally he's very much of an authoritarian. I'm not looking for a boss. I'm looking for somebody who will leave me alone, and he hasn't convinced me that he'll leave me alone. I think he will be the champion of the executive order because he has lived with executive orders, and if he has the strings of power, he won't be bashful in using that. So that is why I'm very hesitant.
But yeah, so you have Milo, you have all these other guys, and you know their platform, right? What they're saying is we're anti-establishment. But today, or at least 41 days from now, but it already is kind of becoming this. Today is the day that the anti-establishment become establishment. The anti-PC police propel forward to attaining political power and will go ahead and start doing exactly what they stated they were going to do from the beginning, which is contest that free speech isn't being respected in private venues while arguing that, you know, Trump and their virtuous totalitarian philosophy should be backed by the arm of the state, of the law, to smash out dissidents, right? It seems quite easy to find common ground some Trump supporters because they are the enemy of my enemy, the enemy of your enemy, right? We're none of us are fans of Hillary Clinton. But you always got to remember that the guns are always turned on the disobedient. And obedience is always defined by hierarchical political elite who change the definition whenever it suits them. I mean, Trump has literally argued that he should be able to sue and possibly punish those who speak out against him. And though he states that it's only because people lie about him, in fact, that's what people even like Stefan Molyneux have stated, I don't believe we actually know whether we can trust what Trump defines as the truth, because it's all very relative to him. He contradicts himself three or four times in a minute.
He's just bullshitting is like his thing. There is no truth. It's like a fisherman, like, yar, the whale's eye was as big as me head. You know, there's no, like, you don't expect truth. But that's like how every strongman operates. If you study strongmen through history, you know, Hitler, Mussolini, the new guy Duterte is a good example. And actually, he's a huge fan of Trump. But they just act completely insane in their public life. And they kind of have it so there's no expectation of decency or truth telling from them. And they can kind of, once they've set the no expectation that anything's good's going to come from them, then they're kind of like they can do whatever they want and there's no real repercussions politically.
Yeah. None of this should be controversial to, like, you know, us or freedom fighters or libertarians or anarchists or anyone who really, you know, really refuses to call any man or woman, you know, their ruler, right? Their God. But in this, I don't know, existentially catastrophic tidal wave of political theater, a lot of people are actually really, really swept up, and we've been seeing it, right? And a part of the reason why they were able to be so easily swept up was a hardline view of us versus them, but it deals with incredibly broad brushes, right? So there was this article, it was like, political correctness got us Donald Trump, and it was such a fucking stretch. Because everything from Caitlyn Jenner to not calling people retarded to respecting sexual boundaries and not being socially inept, right? All these things are put under the banner of cultural Marxism, right? And since Marxism is bad and we can use force against things that are bad, therefore we can use force to stop all things, right? And whatever we find deplorable, right, a term that Trump and Hillary use, well, we can use whatever force we want against the deplorables until the point that we're allowed to throw them out of a goddamn helicopter. And there's this incredible conspiratorial thinking in it where I don't think they've – maybe they Wikipedia'd cultural Marxism and they thought it was a real thing. But overall, for the most part, it's just things that are kind of against conservatism. And the leftists didn't really start that war. I mean, conservatism has been around since men got old and decided that the world was way better when they could get laid more often. Right? I mean, it doesn't even really matter who started it in this case, right? It's just acknowledging that using coercion, right, is unethical. And it's certainly not the best starting point. And to broaden your definition of the initiation of coercion, whereby it starts to mean things as much as, you know, the magazines aren't publishing the things you want them to publish, therefore throw into a prison cell. I mean, we have a problem.
Yeah, I mean, so there's this thing that Trump wants to repeal, which is the Supreme Court ruling in the 1960s, where pretty much you can't get sued by the government for libel. And this is kind of the legal tool that gets used to kind of crack down on dissidents around the world. Their governments all say it's libel against the government, these vague kind of charges. So the Supreme Court in the U.S. said there can't be really any libel against a public figure. And Trump's been very clear he wants to end that protection. That's one of his platforms. And that little loophole is kind of why, for instance, U.S. newspapers can publish NSA files, English newspapers can't, why in the U.S. you get, you know, just a lot of free speech that's legal. That's a very kind of special case. There's not a lot of this around the world where almost anything goes in a lot of contexts when it comes to the government. And that's because primarily this ruling from the 1960s, not really the First Amendment as it was interpreted before that, because they were able to outlaw pornography and a bunch of stuff before that. But free speech is kind of very recent in American history, actually, to the point where, you know, you can put anything you want on a piece of paper, and if it's not a direct threat, you could usually – and you're not making enormous amounts of money off it, and someone could get you for copyright. Other than those two cases, you're generally okay. And no other country on earth – and America before 1960 didn't really work this way either, and this is due to a Supreme Court ruling that Trump's going to overturn. So, you know, that worries me, but – it's political correctness on both sides, you know, is the issue, where the left wants to ban hate speech, to ban racism, and the right wants to ban what they consider triggering them, like burning flags, you know, things along this context. If you burn a flag around, you know, a veterans parade, you'll get the shit beat out of you. And furthermore, you're going to probably find there's not serious charges being pushed out the people who beat the shit out of you, or the cops will just arrest you for disturbing the peace or something. So political correctness on both sides luckily hasn't been able to be legally enforced in the U.S. very much, as opposed to other countries where this stuff's enforced all the time. And I wonder if the Trump Supreme Court will have some people who will end this loophole and kind of allow for whatever future president gains power, left or right, to start passing laws against politically correct, incorrect speech, whether right-wing incorrect, such as flag burning, or left-wing incorrect. And by the way, Hillary Clinton was a sponsor of the flag burn felony bill, where it was going to be a felony if you burned a flag, and that was in 2005. So this isn't really like a Trump-Clinton argument. Clinton was just as horrible as Trump on free speech. Although she did, I think, not make as much of a campaign point that she was going to repeal that little loophole the Supreme Court had ruled on in the 1960s.
Yeah, and of course we can do the, you know, Hillary's also, we ran an entire fucking show about it.
I probably, right, yeah, you can't blame us for not
on hating Hillary Clinton. I mean, we took our time. We took our time. I dissected everything I could. And honestly, I just didn't make it longer because I thought, well, she's going to win. So I now got another 4 years of doing this. I was like, oh, no, that was relevant for that amount of time. And yeah, I mean, she is. And this was an interesting conversation I had with a Democrat who's talking to me about Johnson. Because again, I'm a libertarian, right? Under that banner. So they think Johnson. And I had to kind of go with it because he was like, well, you see, you caused me personally. I personally caused Trump winning. And it was because I was supporting Johnson. I mean, there's a lot of assumptions here, right? That I vote, that I like Johnson, you know, all these different things, right? And of course, the other assumption.
You were at a gay bar.
Yeah, I guess so. Wait.
So at this point, though, he was kind of making this contention that we needed to ensure that Hillary Clinton got in because we don't want the rich elite to run us. And I just fucking cackled. A woman who made hundreds of millions of dollars on the backs and exploitation of the poor while murdering individuals throughout the process, living in complete decadence while destroying individuals' lives for the last two decades, not only politically, but outside of even the realm of politics, whether that be through the media or simply shooting a couple people in the back of the head while making satanic stews and passing laws which led to hundreds of thousands of children being placed in violent, abusive foster homes. That's not the rich elite. Like, that's not establishment enough to you. But
I don't. How do you get more elite than Hillary Clinton?
Like, I don't
she's
know.
She's at the center of political power globally.
Husband was the president.
Yeah.
When they left, they were making hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, in order to be able to give speeches.
But simultaneously,
he lobbied so that he could go give a speech. It was either, I believe it was in Qatar, right? So that he could get paid a ton of money to go speak there. But they weren't going to allow him to do it because it's a totalitarian country. And he basically had to lobby them to allow him to do it, right? Because he's like, come on, baby, give me that money. I want that sweet Muslim pussy. They give it to me so hard. I love this little 14-year-old Muslim girls. Come on now. Sorry. That's the thing. Let me feel your pain. this is what I expected.
I am going to miss not having Bill Clinton in the public spotlight for the next 4 years. That was going to be interesting.
Man, well, the thing is, either way, we got Bill Cosby, right? We got Bill
Cosby. Well,
that's
true. Cosby just got elected.
Well, it was either someone, you know, the first man was going to be our Bill Cosby, or the president was going to be our Cosby. But I got to tell you, there is something Shakespearean manner that is tragic and both beautiful in the case of Hillary Clinton. So you get Hillary, who's been doing all this shit we just talked about, right? Been doing this for decades. You know, she loses to the black chain smoker who has a crazy Muslim name in 2008.
And she's like, well, he was kind of cool. I mean, he was black. And black guys always win in office in America, right? So she was like, you know, c'est la vie. I'll go ahead and I'll get a nice elected position brought on by the black guy who beat me. But you know what? I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to bomb a shit ton of people while I'm here. And then I'm going to go ahead and set it up so that right after we're out, I've jacked off enough people with hundreds of dollars in bills and blood. Now I'm going to become president. She then almost loses to a Jew from Vermont who's probably under 5'10" and barely speaks English.
And she's seeing and she's seeing these 16 Republican presidential candidates, and she's like, I know that one. That guy is fucking retarded. He will say anything. You know what? He even paid me to go to his wedding. I mean, come on. He was a reality TV star. We got all this shit on him, right? He doesn't pay his workers. He's probably racist. He even said Obama probably wasn't from this country. I mean, this guy's insane. All right, media, I want you to go ahead and push forward him. I want you to push forward Ted Cruz, because Ted Cruz is fucking nuts. And Ben Carson, because he believes that wheat was put into pyramids and that the world is 10,000 years old. those guys. All right, let's go ahead and push them forward and ignore Rand Paul. If Mitt Romney ever comes back, let's make sure it really destroys life so that he'll never want to do that again. All right, let's just push them back.
I mean, Rubio was the real enemy. She didn't want to run against Rubio. So, yeah, she put a lot of kind of secret, covert effort into helping Trump get the nomination. And also, yeah, Cruz and Carson, she was also pushing.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, in that case, right, so, and we know this, by the way, we talked about this last episode.
This is a WikiLeaks, if anyone's wondering where the hell we're getting this from.
Yeah.
I forget which one, Podesta, I think.
This is the conspiracy that a lot of the conspiratard conservatives don't want to talk about, which was who was the one pushing this person forward. And so Trump gets in there, and he's just saying crazy shit left and right. And everybody's like, you know what? Fuck it. Yeah. Fuck it. Right. And he's getting pushed forward. And she's like, well, don't worry. We have some stuff in the back end. We'll bring up, you know, grabbing pussies. And for some reason, grabbing pussies is way worse to people than saying that you want to deport millions of people and actual citizens if you're an anchor baby, which legally makes you a citizen. And, you know, banning large groups of people, yada, yada, yada. But it's the pussy grab, and that's the problem. And we'll go ahead and push that out. And then I'll go into debate with him, and I'll smash him, right? And you got to wonder, like, at, like, the third debate, when she finally started, like, debating back with him and not just kind of looking at him like he's retarded, which is all she should have ever done. You got to be thinking in her mind, it was definitely going back and forth, I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe this is, I've had to fucking stoop this goddamn low to the point where I have to debate a reality TV host just to become president. That's how much we had to fucking stack the deck to have an orange-haired, toupee-weaved, just abhorrent human being yelling at me, right? Repeating the same things, consistently contradicting himself, right? This has to be awful, right? She's feeling terrible inside, but you know what? It's worth it because she's going to become president of the fucking United States and no one's going to stop her. Then election day comes along and what happens? Everyone fucking votes for Trump. All of that money, all of that blood and more blood and more blood and some sweat from the guys who had to shoot the guns who were backed by Hillary and tears from the children who are pouring out as their, you know, their fathers are dead. All that so that you could lose to the pussy grabber. Good job, Hillary. You did it.
She, her tale is Shakespearean. There's no other way to put it. I mean, the election is, you know, it's like every little perfect plot twist lined up just how it would have if you were writing, like a crazy, not a crazy book, but a very, one of those books where all the little things that you mention offhand at the beginning neatly wraps up together at the end, which was, you know, how Shakespeare wrote. But it did seem like there are all these elements that were being laid over the last couple years. And then just in the last couple months, just every few days, like two of them would come together in a way that no one really it wasn't even on their mind. Like, wait a minute, Clinton's emails were on Wiener's laptop? Like, what? Like, and then you know, Billy Bush being a major political figure. It's just everything.
Bush has come back.
Yeah, because Billy Bush is related. He is actually related to the Bushes. Look it up.
I know. Yeah, he's like a nephew or some shit.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. The Bushes.
That was Jeb's revenge was how I viewed that.
You should have clapped. You should have clapped.
But yeah, Clinton's very similar to Jeb in that they both outspent Trump by like dozens of times.
No, Jeb Bush, I believe it spent more than all of the other Republican candidates combined.
Yep, $60 million he spent on the primary. Got like 1% of the vote.
That was the primary. The primary. Like, I think they did the math. It was like he was spending a couple bucks per person for the amount of people who actually voted for him.
Well, I think he should run for the Libertarian Party because that election is decided at the convention. So all you have to do is show up. You get to pick the president. And Jeb could just buy us all a Porsche. And you know,
I'm in. Fucking in.
I'd vote for him. Give me a Porsche.
All right. I figured out a reason why to join the Libertarian Party. So I can be part of that conversation. Hey, guys, we'll just let's just give it to you. You know, it's like 30 of us, okay? There's not a lot of libertarians around here. We're in Florida. It's hot. Let's do it. Let's just do it, guys.
There's like an Ayn Rand quote, is that for sale? And the character goes back, everything's for sale.
I'm actually going to the next Libertarian National Convention to speak about Child Protective Services. I just remember that. Oh, shit. And it's in Florida. That's funny. That's why I probably... Okay, I'm going to have the discussion with the libertarian elite there. Who's part of the libertarian elite? Is it like Pat Buchanan? No.
Well, it was Bill Weld and Gary Johnson. I think they've kind of jumped the shark at this point.
Well, you know, they'll forgive Gary because he gave them 3%, as if anyone could have gotten them 3%. Austin Peterson could have gotten 3%. And yeah. I don't like Austin. He's not a, doesn't seem great, but you know, he read a book, and I can't say that about Johnson. when he talked to him, you know, I met him a while back and I asked him like a question in front of a room just filled with other libertarians, right? Like all libertarians. I asked him a question. I was like, hey, what do you think would happen? Like, what would be the implications if you decided to fire all of these unionized public workers? Like, don't you think there'd be a backlash? He goes, well, we're just going to do it, and they're going to have to get a better job. And everybody clapped. I was like, do you think that's going to fly? Like, do you think that's going to fly when he's actually interviewed by people who do this for a living, who don't like you?
He broke down almost in tears when he started getting some of those interviews towards the end. The guy just couldn't handle the pressure.
No, and he was being asked questions that weren't that hard.
Yeah.
No, there was the Aleppo gaffe, whatever. You know, as I told the Hillary supporter, Johnson couldn't remember what Aleppo was. Hillary bombed it, you know, which is worse. But it was just one of those, like, he was on I was just so unimpressed, like in every single level. There was nothing inspirational from him, especially coming from, you know, Ron Paul. And I was the biggest Ron Paul fan, but I got to say.
Well, you know who's really smart and can give a speech? Now, he's not a libertarian. I want to make that clear. He understands kind of Chicago economics, neoliberal. He'll tell you why trade's very good, and he'll tell you about marginal you know, labor costs and how trade helps workers. You know, he can explain why trade's even good for the Rust Belt. This person is actually Bill Weld. Bill Weld is very good at like discussing economics. He's a smart intellectual, but he is not libertarian. He's very far from libertarian, very far. He understands like that free trade is a good thing and can talk about economics on a pretty high level, but you know, talk to him about any kind of issue that libertarians care about and you get just terrifying answers from him. He's like Romney. He's just Romney, and maybe the Libertarian Party should elect Romney next time. Just put Romney up. They'll get a bunch of money. They'll get in, and
I would have taken him at the end of this whole thing. After everything was happening, I was like, "Where's Mitt? I remember that guy."
he could have won. I think if Romney had run Libertarian Party, he would have actually won.
Well, I don't know about that, but if he just ran with the Republicans at the end there, but no, I mean honestly, like you know, Romney was going against an elected black cool guy president. Like at a time of war, there's no way you're gonna win that. You're just not, and you're Mormon. You know, you're like the least cool person ever, right?
It was a close election, though. It was like
exactly. It was still crazy close. Just the limpness, ineptitude, I mean, just flaccid cock of Gary Johnson was just uninspiring in every single way. And I remember kind of seeing that and going like, he's going to get destroyed. And even when he was on like Penn Sunday School, Penn Jillette is going to be his biggest cheerleader he will ever talk to in his entire life. And he still sucked. Penn had to put like words in his mouth for him because he read more.
Because Penn hates Trump. He came out very initially publicly against Trump, and then he endorsed Johnson very early on, very publicly, did YouTube videos about it. So yeah, if there's one softball interview in the world, it's Penn Jillette. So if you can't do well on that, you're just not a very good person to run for president.
No. And yeah, and for Bill Weld, oh my God, for him to be on the news and just saying, I'm backing Hillary because not enough people are. And you know, now he's probably right. I mean, she didn't become president, right? I mean, that's And by the way, Penn didn't end up voting for Gary Johnson. He traded his vote for Gary Johnson for like 10 votes for Gary Johnson, California, and his vote for Hillary.
Interesting.
Yeah, which he just worked it out because he's like, well, he could actually win Nevada, but he can't win California. And he didn't win Nevada, but he did win Utah.
I've heard the trade your vote theory for Johnson, but that's hilarious. I never thought about it that way. Is why not have a full market in votes, get some leverage, get some, you know, vote. What's the market price of a vote in a swing state compared to a...
Yeah, it made sense to me. I was like, yeah, that sounds about right.
And all the laws against taking ballot selfies have been repealed. So now you can actually enforce this. Say, like, I'll pay you $10 to vote for someone. You can take a photo of your ballot and...
Did they vote on ballot selfies?
No, that was the courts, and it was in New Hampshire. So there's no guarantee you're not going to get arrested in the rest of the country, but the federal courts in New Hampshire said you can take a picture of your ballot, First Amendment. But then they... you know, that's one local federal judge. So technically another federal judge could disagree with him and it would go up to the Supreme Court. But it looks like that's the standing federal law right now that you can take a ballot selfie. Again, though, in New Hampshire, you're safe. I don't know if I would publicly say you're taking ballot selfies in every state. You might get arrested.
Yeah, we should do it anyway because it's funny. I mean,
yeah, it's great.
If you're not going to waste your time voting, you might as well take a picture of it. Right, so you can feel something. It's like why you decide to prepare your dish just right.
So you take a picture of it. You know, like it's just taking that extra time because you're not really doing anything in the world if it's not being posted somewhere.
You let it get cold, you know, spend like 30 minutes taking the picture. It's it's hard, you know.
It's hard, man. No, right after I cook food, I want it immediately shoveled into my mouth. That's why I make it, is to shovel it directly. Like I don't even really want like the bowl to be involved. Like I wish pans weren't so hot right afterwards. So I just kind of just scoop it straight into my mouth like a degenerate. I don't know where the hell I'm going with that. But
I would eat from a tube if they had good tube food.
Well, I care about texture, right? Like, but I don't mind mush, right? It's just like if it's like cold mush, it's going to be a problem. It's just if your food is hot, right? It should be hot when you eat it. Shouldn't that be lukewarm? Lukewarm is disgusting. Lukewarm lentils, oh my God, it's so gross. Or like lukewarm any kind of beans or rice. It's a problem. These are the things. These are things libertarians need to be talking about.
Ladies and gentlemen, lukewarm lentils are a thing of the past under President Trump.
Yeah.
He will secure our lentils. They will be crispy.
Woo! Woo! Crispy lentils! Woo! Fuck Iran!
Yeah.
We will bomb Iran, and we will take the lentils.
We will take their lentils. It's good. Okay. I like lentils. I don't hate Muslims, right? I like curry. Who doesn't like curry? Everyone likes curry. It's the people that come with them. Terrorists. They come in the curry caravans, okay? They come in there, and they just get here. What's in curry, anyway? What is curry? Is it a powder? Is it a mixture of powders? Does anyone know? Anyone? He's like a shitty stand-up comedian. Is half of his thing. He's like kind of funny, but he's mostly like heckler who is allowed on stage because he paid to be allowed up there. That's kind of how it feels. Anyway, this is all going down the tube, so I think I will just I'll leave it there, folks. No preachy little thing at the end here. Just.
Well, I mean, you know, wow. If you wanted to discuss policy or something, but that's not what people really care about. Like, it's all about the emotions right now. Like, yeah, you know, nuclear war prospects are probably a little less. Iran war prospects are probably a little more. But at the end of the day, first of all, no one knows what the hell he'll do because every 2 minutes he changes his mind. And like, it's more fun to just cover the emotions, I feel like, at this point. Just like we just witnessed as a country, like, a military defeat without any violence, kind of like there's a subjugated population now in like the liberal cities that just had an enemy army from the countryside, different nationality, march in and subjugate them, and now they're wailing. And it's interesting to watch.
Well, if this election has proven anything, though, it's that the emotions matter more than anything else. It's the feels. That was the main argument being used by almost anyone. This is why libertarians were able to interpret specific things he said as a justification that obviously he's on our side. And this came from a lot of different groups. You ended up getting, you know,
your mind revolves around this idea that maybe I can find the strong man that suits me. And intellectually, some people were able to rationalize it, Walter Block being one of them. The question, though, does become, what becomes of Walter Block, Stephen Molyneux, right? These guys who were honestly kind of big in the anarchist movement, especially Walter Block for a longer time than a lot of other people. And it'll be interesting because now it'll be Molyneux and Cantwell and all these other anarchist folks are going to have to start defending the guy.
And he's going to be a Democrat, I'm pretty sure. Like, that's my guess, is he's going to kind of be the populist that fights the Republican Congress is how he's going to play it. Maybe I'm wrong and he'll just be a straight up George W. Bush. But like, Trump's going to get bored of doing that. I think he's going to kind of like rebel naturally and instinctively. What is it? Michael Moore called Trump an anarchist. They're like, well, I don't think you understand what anarchist means, but I kind of get the emotions of it. Like, he seems to, if he sees a social institution, his instinct is to kind of piss on it. And yeah, like, he's Ozzy Osbourne pissing on the Alamo, you know. And he's gonna have to piss on Congress. He can't work with Congress. You think Donald Trump is gonna work with, you know, Congress for 4 years? No, maybe 1 year he'll get bored and he'll start just like insulting the Republican Congress and probably passing laws just despite Paul Ryan.
I figure he's just gonna get bored, right? Like, he's gonna start like putting whoopee cushions in the UN. You know, he's gonna get bored. Like, he has to, right? It's you're on the same TV show every day, right? But I guess everyone does listen to you. It is a perfect place for a megalomaniac. But he's really downgrading his house. Like, he used to live like...
No, that's why he built the hotel. He just built his best, classiest hotel in Washington, D.C., a couple blocks from the White House, so he could live out of there instead of the White House.
Ooh, he didn't want to,
he want to live in government housing.
Did he just build a hotel?
Yeah, in Washington, D.C. He just opened it a couple months ago.
I had no idea. Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's great.
It's in the old post office building, which I love. It's an old government monopoly building that, you know, a businessman takes over. Happens to be the president. Interesting twist.
twist. Yeah. So it's brought to you now by the government. Does he have to take? I wonder what all the parameters are after you become president. Like, no. Well, I mean, they end up being rich when they leave too. So, anyway. That about does it, Andrew. We'll do more episodes on this later. I just felt like I needed to push out something because this is just crazy. It's a crazy, crazy time. And we'll see what occurs. I mean, most likely it'll just be the same, but maybe not. God knows that neither of us are very good at guessing. So let's see how this all flushes out and honestly hope for the best and know that technology will continue to get better, even with impeding regulations, and hopefully we don't end up in the America that Trump or Hillary wanted.
I mean, I'm 150 miles from Canada. You're like 2 miles from Mexico. There's other options.
I'm not moving to fucking Mexico, dude. I'm not. I fucking refuse. I have a different scapegoat that I'm not telling you guys about because it's too cool. And if everyone goes, it'll suck. All right. Okay. All right. Later, man.
We'll talk to you later, boss.
Peace.
And that does it, folks. Later. Yeah.
Dreamed I was an Eskimo. Frozen wind began to blow. And my mama cried. My mama cried. Don't be a naughty Eskimo. Watch out where the huskies go, don't you eat that yellow snow. Watch out where the huskies go, don't you eat that yellow snow. Well, right about that time, people, a fur trapper who was strictly from commercial,
strictly commercial,
had the unmitigated audacity to jump up from behind my igloo.
Peek-a-boo.
And he started in the whipping on my favorite baby seal.
with a lead-filled snowshoe. That got me just about as evil as an Eskimo boy can be. So I bent down and I reached down and I scooped down and I gathered up a generous mitten full of the deadly.
Yellow snow.
The deadly yellow snow from right there where the Huskies go. Whereupon I proceeded to take that mitten full of the deadly yellow snow crystals and rub it all into his beady little eyes with a vigorous circular motion hitherto unknown to the people in this area, but destined to take the place of the mud shark in your mythology. Here it goes now, the circular motion, rub it! And then in a fit of anger, I pounced again. Great googly moogly. Well, he was very upset, as you can understand. And rightly so, because the deadly yellow snow crystals had deprived him of his sight. And he stood up and he looked around and he said, stuffed it in my right eye. He took a dog do snow cone and stuffed it in my other eye. And the husky wee wee, I mean the doggy wee wee, has blinded me, and I can't see temporarily.